plantar fasciitis in the left heel. I do too. First Peter 4:1. And you're like, when are we going to start Ephesians, right?
We'll start Ephesians at the first of next month, because there's one more that we have to do. And next week, Brent's going to preach to you, and then we have our camping trip. So I want to read something to you because of something that happened last week when we were sharing. 1 Peter 4:1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. All right. So, one more. Oh, there they go. One more in this little sequence that we did. Billy, we'll get you the 4-volume CD, right? Because we've been going through the myth of the pre-trib rapture we went through, all end time stuff we did. Signs of Christ coming, the second week. Does God have a preparedness plan? That was the third week. And last week is if you're scared, you're not prepared. Oh, thank you. Oh, I get that too. Okay. So today we're going to go, don't waste your sufferings. Because last week, when I mentioned one of the things for the underground church was to ready yourself for suffering, everybody looked like they had the deer in the headlights and their eyeballs just popping out. Ah! So, a fitting conclusion to our study of end time scenarios is the whole issue of suffering. Now, I'm not going to go into a theology of suffering. Some of that was already in the book of Acts we did a whole thing about suffering. But we need to define terms as what suffering looks like for an American church. Because an American church preaches easy believism, name and claim prosperity, emergent church sloppy agape, God will wink when you mix worldly schemes with the Bible, and God wants you rich and other enticing doctrines. So we need to finish strong as to what any suffering is ultimately going to produce. Now I know that I have made fun sometimes of saying 3 points in a poem, but that's what you get today. You get 3 points in a poem at the end. So first thing is start with God's purpose in suffering. What's the purpose? And our response to suffering is next. And then the ultimate outcome of suffering. So what's God's purpose? What's our response? And what's the ultimate outcome? Those three things. And then I'll read you the poem at the end. God's purpose. John 3:16. What? What does that have to do with suffering? For God so loved, agape love. You have to start with love. God so loved. And the kind of love that God has is its own inherent nature, not because of excellence or worth of the object. It's spontaneous and automatic love. God doesn't love us because we're lovable. God just loves us because that's his nature. Its own inherent nature. 1 John 4:8, God is love. Character, nature, essence. That's what God is. It's benevolent. A sacrificial outgoing of goodwill. Because I've been teaching ethics lately, Alan, you like this one. Love is the soul of ethics. It really is. It's the soul behind ethics. So God is love. God is supreme power of the created universe, and he's eternal, and therefore love is an everlasting supreme principle in the universe. So if God's eternal, and love is eternal, and God is love, A plus B equals C, then it's everlasting. And love is intimately tied to suffering. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave. And how did he give? Sacrificially. He gave his son. God suffered sacrificially by giving Jesus. So there it is, just in the first two lines there. For God so loved, the world that he gave sacrificially his only begotten son. The Father suffered to give his son. So, what is he teaching us? He's teaching us about sacrificial giving, agape love. For what purpose? What is the purpose? What purpose does God do this? For preparation of a bride elect for his son. That's what it's all working towards. We're being conformed to the image of his son. I wish there was another way. I wish it was instantaneously. I wish it was something that just, you know, the fairy godmother came over and whoop, hit you on the head with the little wand. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. So for what purpose? For preparation of a bride elect in ruling and reigning in a new heaven and a new earth. Because if this is all we're look forward to, and I remember Keith Green saying, you know, if it took God 6 days to do everything that you see around us, and Jesus has been working in for heaven, you know, working in heaven for 2,000 years, we're living in a garbage dump. Because remember, he's a carpenter, so he's been busy. The bride needs to learn, as the Son exhibited while on earth, that every task that Jesus did, he showed the character of the Father. Remember, he says, if you see me, you've seen the Father. He also says, I don't do anything on my own initiative. I only do what the Father does, what I see him do. We have to be the same thing. I have to do what the Father shows us to do, just like we prayed for Debbie. She needs to know what the Father wants her to do. Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered, not a suffering due to disobedience or lack of foresight or rebellion, but out of sacrificial love. That's why he suffered in the flesh out of sacrificial love. There is no love in you in just our natural selves. We're selfish. Okay? So there's no love without self-giving. There's none. Whosoever will be great amongst you, let him be the servant. Matthew 20. 25 to 28. Whoever is great amongst you must be the servant of all. And because there's no love without self-giving, there is no self-giving without suffering. Does that make sense? There's no love without self-giving, and there's no self-giving without suffering. It says, the Son of Man came not to be ministered to, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Matthew 20, 28. There's no self-giving without suffering. So Jesus didn't come and say, you know, minister to me. He came to minister. How? He gave his life. That's suffering. Therefore, there's no love without suffering. Paul says, love suffers much. 1 Corinthians 13:4. That's the 1 Corinthians 13 chapter that everybody likes to preach on. Love suffers. It says voluntarily. Great sufferers are truly great agape lovers. But do we voluntarily suffer? No. You know why? Because self, S-E-L-F-H-E-L-L, four letters for each one. Selfishness is the antithesis of sacrificial love. It is. Self-centeredness is the essence of all sin and misery and self-destruction. So selfishness is the antithesis of sacrificial love, and self-centeredness is the essence of all sin and misery and self-destruction. And I know I'm not preaching to the choir. I'm just, you know, I got to put these things together, and I got to listen to them too. Satan is the character of self. The focal point of hell is self. It is. Go to Isaiah 14. Go to Ezekiel 28. I will set my throne above the throne of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregations. I, me, my, my. Satan's full of self. And therefore, the essence of all sin, misery, and self-destruction. Suffering frees us from selfishness if we yield to its work. That's the big thing, if we yield to it. Suffering frees us from selfishness if we yield to its work. Every time you lay down by an act of your will something that you know is selfish or that you need to do, it's just building up the suffering, which leads to righteousness. It leads to being like Jesus. So suffering is both instantaneous, because we have justification of the sinner, and progressive in its sanctification of the saint. So it's something that's instantaneous when you get justified, being justified by his grace, and it's also progressive in sanctification because it's a long term. It's not, doesn't happen just right away. So you're justified, Romans 5, 6 to 8. While we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It wasn't anything that you did out of your flesh. It wasn't anything that you danced before King Kong. And, you know, here's this big, mighty God that, you know, you're dancing like a clown. And he says, oh, okay, I like you. Forget it. Doesn't do that. And the sanctification is Philippians 1, 6, which says, God who began a good work in you will perfect it to the day of Christ Jesus. He is committed to doing that. No matter what it takes. And everybody, every one of us has the real specific thing that he takes us through. He knows exactly how to mold you and mend you and everything else. So selfishness is the main character flaw in a saint. And godly character is impossible without suffering. And so we talked about, you know, tribulation. Nobody wants to go through tribulation. In fact, our friend who just passed away, one of her main prayers, this is really interesting. One of her main prayers is like, Lord, I don't think I can go through the tribulation, so take me before. So it was funny in the fact of, I was talking to her husband last night, and he says, us and the girls knew that Lori had prayed that way. And we were, you know, when she passed away on Monday, we were waiting for the tribulation to start on Tuesday. That's funny. Hebrews 12 says that he chastens those whom he loves. We're illegitimate child if we're not chastened, because the result is that we share in his godly character. That's peaceable and the fruit of righteousness. Watchman Nee said something. He said, we never learn anything deep or new about God except through adversity. I mean, really, when you think about it, when you come through a really hard time, it's horrible. But then what does he teach you in that? And what do you yield to it? Hebrews 2:10 says, he's the captain of our salvation, bringing many sons of glory to perfect them through suffering. Ah. Now, is this suffering for suffering's sake? No, then what you can do, if you just suffer for suffering's sake, is you get hard, resistant, self-pity, frustration, depression. That's what happens. I used to pray all the time, Lord, break me, Lord, break me. Tony will tell you. You don't have to pray for that. It'll happen. Don't ask for it, because it'll just happen. Isn't that something? Sometimes we try to humble ourselves so much we get prideful. Gosh. Only as one yields to the knowledge that God permits is that's what happens when we yield. We yield to the knowledge that God permits these things to happen, because he wants to wean us off of self-love and self-worship. So the character of Jesus comes or doesn't come according to one's reaction to the affliction. That makes sense? The character of Jesus comes or does not come according to one's reaction to an affliction. So if we go around complaining, if we go around pouting and everything else, then we just going to have to go back around the barn another way. I've seen it. It's happened in my life. Go back around the barn. Okay, go back around the barn. Truly, this was the Son of God. Some murderous pagan centurion said that. Because he saw how Jesus suffered. And he goes, there's nobody that, I've put a lot of men up on these crosses. There's nobody that acted that way. So, a murderous pagan centurion said that statement. Truly, this was the Son of God. He saw the character. He saw how he went through suffering. So, we in America suffer momentary light afflictions. We really do. I don't even think we know what suffering is about, but we suffer because of physical illness. We suffer because of financial hardships. We suffer because of personality clashes. If we faint in running with the foot soldiers, what will happen when we must run with the horses? Jeremiah 5. That's what it says. He says, if you faint with the foot soldiers in the floodplain of the Jordan, what's going to happen when you have to run with the horses? I don't know if anybody's tried to keep up with a horse lately, but strenuous. Paul says, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him and be glorified together. So that's the ultimate purpose. That's the third thing. The ultimate purpose is the bride learns to rule and reign with the bridegroom. Enduring suffering, and it produces agape love. And that reflects on a Christ-like character. Ultimate outcome, to serve with the bridegroom and administer the law of agape love in eternity. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? Are we going to go up and float on clouds with harps? No. I don't know who drew that one up. So all circumstances, all conflicts, all moral dilemmas, all disappointments of plans not fulfilled, all pain, physical, demonstrations of our bodies, all struggles, my way or thy way, all of it is training ground for future kingdom reign. Circumstances, conflicts, moral dilemmas, disappointments, pain, physical pain, all struggles with the will, my way or thy way, all of it is training ground. Isn't that lovely? Can we do this another way? No. I'm going to end with this little poem. There you go, 3 points in a poem. I heard this before years and years ago, but I just, God will go to any length to mold and mature one in agape love. He considers no price too great because he knows the glory that is ahead. When God wants to drill a man and thrill a man and skill a man to play the noblest part, when he yearns with all of his heart to create so great and bold a man that all the world should be amazed. Watch his methods and watch his ways, how he ruthlessly perfects whom he royally elects, how he hammers him and hurts him, and with mighty blows converts him into trial shapes of clay, which only God understands. While his tortured heart is crying, and he lifts beseeching hands, how he bends but never breaks when his good he undertakes. How he uses whom he chooses and with every purpose fuses him, by every act induces him to try his splendor out. God knows what he's about. God's purpose is to take us through a course of discipline and make us more loving. And wouldn't you all want it to be a different way? Let's not. So, the ultimate outcome is to serve with Jesus and administer the law of agape love for all eternity, because God is eternal and God is love. And I wish there was another way, but there's not. So when we look back at all the things that we talked about, it's not to become fearful. It's not to become paranoid. It's to know that no matter what we go through, the ultimate purpose is to serve with the Lord and to become more like Him. And He knows the exact perfect plan for each one of us. Each one of us is not going to go through the same thing. But the ultimate purpose is for us to get rid of self-love and self-worship and to become like the character of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Gee, what a wonderful note. Let's go suffer, yes, yay. But let's suffer the right way, right? Yes, have a suffering day. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll pass the baskets, and then you guys can go and try to stay cool today. Try to stay cool today. Father, thank you for this message. It's hard. But we always said when we started this little church that we'd preach the whole counsel of God, not just the ones that we want to camp on and be fun and have fun with. So Lord, help us to remember that the ultimate outcome is really to rule and reign with your Son. And Father, help us to yield to what you're doing and not be stiff-necked and stubborn and donkey, but to Lord, for us to really understand that all circumstances and all these things are making us more like the image of Jesus. So we just lift this time up to you. We just pray for each one that's here and those that couldn't be here. And we pray, Lord, that when somebody is going through suffering, that we don't shake our finger at them, that we don't judge them. But it says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep and come alongside. And it says, the comfort that we've been comforted, that we comfort others. Well, if we need comforting, that means that we've gone through suffering, Lord. So help us to remember to comfort others when they're going through their trials. Lord, bless the offering, bless the giving. Thank you that everyone here has a job, and we've always prayed that, and we're thankful for that. And Father, we just would pray that you would bless it. And Lord, in the dog days of summer, Lord, help us to keep in mind those around us that need to be out of the heat, whatever it is, Lord, our neighbors, relatives, help us to remember them so that we can show godly kindness to them. In Jesus' name, amen.